You're listening to Unique Leaders Podcast. I'm Megan DiMartino. Success is in the story. Each week, I'll be speaking with a unique leader, not only in their field, but in their lives. Join us for a glimpse of their passion and talents. There's always a surprise in their story. Be the first to hear. Hello, 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 and welcome to Unique Leaders Live. I'm Megan DiMartino, and this is a show that is sharing everyone's unique leading skills. The passion and talent is in their story. So each week I have a unique leader with me who is going to share that with you. And we hope that you enjoy this because there's always a surprise in their story. Today I have an amazing guest. We're now crossing over the ocean. We're going to Slovenia. And we're going to be with Simona Spielnak. And it is, I hope I said all of those names correctly, Simona. Simona Spielnak, Slovenia. And we met, again, remotely like this, on Glenn Lundy's Rise and Grind. And Glenn Lundy interviewed our beautiful Simona. And it was such a wonderful interview. And I could see her spirit and joy and passion of what she does through that interview. And I immediately sent a friend request and just said, let's get together. And so we've been communicating over a period of time now. And I so want you to meet this beautiful woman because her story is so inspiring, not only inspiring for today, but in general of building businesses, marketing your business, and working towards that success. But as she and I were speaking in the green room, you know, it's a very unprecedented time. We're all walking in challenges. We all are, regardless. There's a lot of unknowns. And we are here to share our stories, to give you hope and infinite possibilities. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my beautiful guest, Simona Spielnak.
Hello. Hi. Thanks a lot, Megan, for having me. Hello to everybody. It's afternoon in US and it's 11 p.m. here in Ljubljana in Slovenia. So it's evening, but you know, that's the beauty of our online and our digital and remote that really we can talk and we can meet and we can share. And as Megan said, we can give hope and inspiration from all over the world, whatever the time. And I believe if we really have that energy and the desire to share and making a positive impact, everything is possible and then nothing is hard to do. So I'm really, really happy to be here.
I am so joyful, Simona. And you shared when we were in the green room how we were talking about COVID-19 and pandemic and how it's affected business. We'll go to your story in a minute, but you were sharing, this is part of your story, how you're in your beautiful office, that amazing backdrop, and that you, obviously it is late at night, and there is
we have a like a full lockdown, meaning that there are like shopping centers closed, only like the basic drug stores and food stores and pharmacies are open. This is from today actually on, because we have like 1,500 cases per day of COVID, which is a lot for a country which has only 2 million of inhabitants in total. And we have like as well that police hour, I believe it's called like that. So from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, we are not allowed to travel, move or leave the apartment, except of like necessary cases of cases of health emergency or other emergencies. So I was driving back to my office because I wanted to be here due to the light and also the sharing my background, of course, and to make also your Facebook Live beautiful. And I was like, okay, I have to drive. It was already 10 p.m. and 15 or something like that. And I was like, okay, hopefully nobody stops me. And there was nobody on the street. Anyway, it's completely empty. But that's the time, as you said, you know, it's a completely different time. We are not used to it. And I believe that the biggest source of fear is the uncertainty, that we don't know what I shared already with you earlier in the green room, that there is the uncertainty. We don't know the time frame. When will it change or improve so we can go to more normal lives, and what will be the impact which it will have to our lives, to our businesses, and all of that is something what we, I believe, we have to live with that. And during the times of crisis and pandemic, I believe that the most important thing is that we create those small goals for ourselves and for our businesses and our families. So we have that feeling that we've done something and we achieved. And then you have the courage again because you move forward. So it's not time for long-term aspirational goals and vision talks. It's really about making an impact with a short-term small actions and goals, like, for example, this interview. So really to provide people to see the opportunities, maybe because they simply aren't aware of some of the opportunities out there, and really to share hope and inspiration. So, yes.
So we'll come back to today in a little bit, but let's go back to, you know, where you were born, where you grew up, and a little bit about young Simona. You know, what that fertilizer, that DNA of that motivation to create this very successful woman today. Mm-hmm. So why don't you go back and share with our guests just a little bit about you and how you grew up? Because, you know, I've been blessed to go to Europe many times. I've never been to your country, but I will soon. Once we open the borders, when they open the borders, I'm going to get on a plane and be over there soon. But tell us about and give us a feel of your younger years and your family.
And that's such a beautiful question, really, because as you were asking me, I went back, really. I was born in that northeast part of Slovenia, so I always live, and my base was here in Slovenia, just that I moved from my home village part to the capital city of Slovenia, which is Ljubljana. So I live here now for almost 30 years. So I was born there, and my parents are very simple, and they are still alive, thanks God. I'm really grateful for that. And you know what? There is actually one story which I always explain at about my childhood and how I was raised. There was a very simple lesson which my mom told me, and she always said, you know what? You should never steal and you should never lie. And that's the simple rule which you should keep for yourself for the rest of or for the whole of your life. And I was like, wow, really? And you know, it provides the opportunity that you really live with simple rules and simplicity, which then I believe provides the opportunity really to be authentic and to become whoever you want to be, because you are not limited. And my parents never limited me. They were always like, do what you want. If you would like to go out, if you would like to study abroad, if you would like to go to some other city, do that. And because it is a village, very small village. And if you grow from such a small village, then, you know, you just see the opportunities out there. And that, I believe that's my character. You know, I love people. I love seeing the opportunities. I'm not on a negative part of population, really that realistically positive person. And that's the basis. And then, of course, I started to study. And then the story goes on, of course, moved to Ljubljana and so on.
I have a question, though, about timeline. When you were a young child, was it still in communist? Yes, that's what I thought. I thought it would be, the country was under Yugoslavia, is that correct?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, it was Yugoslavia. Slovenia was part of the ex-Yugoslavia, and our president was Tito. He was very famous, though, I believe, like had a lot of friends, like Mahatma Gandhi, and he was with a lot of like worldwide leaders. But it was a communistic, socialistic country. Though what we had in comparison, for example, like more strict regimes like Russia, we were able to travel. We had a passport, so we were able to go to Austria, to Italy, to Germany, or to US even to fly, even though that flights were very expensive at that time. But yeah, that was the opportunity. Even though the country was so communistic, we were open. And that feeling of freedom, of being able to move not only between the countries because the borders were open, but as well to go abroad. And even at that time already to learn foreign languages. This was quite like a must. So it was the educational system was like that. What was crucial, I believe, and was a good basis for young people to develop was the educational system. So we were all like, there is a public school and public university system, still is, actually, for everybody. So more or less all Slovenes have like university degree or master's degree. So that created the basis. And then later on, as Yugoslavia fell apart, Slovenia was very lucky because we had only a few days of war. And then being the northest country of all the rest of Yugoslavia, like, for example, Serbia and Croatia, who suffered dramatically, or Bosnia and Herzegovina especially. During the war, we were really lucky, really like becoming like the independent state in a few weeks. It was like, yeah. It is now 30 years ago. So,
yes. Well, I was thinking as you were sharing about your mother and what she shared about stealing and lying, which, you know, the Ten Commandments, that shall not steal and that shall not, I mean, very foundational. But as you were speaking about that, I was thinking about your age and the world at that time. And I realized that because you said it was about travel, your parents encouraged you to do what you wanted to do. That meant that their mindset was open, and that's why I asked the question, because I knew that it had been part, the country had been part of Yugoslavia, and but yet the mindset, because you can do anything with the proper mindset. Would you agree with that?
I fully agree. And, you know, it's such a great foundation, because if you think like that, and if you are thought like that, like I was by my parents, then you're actually really open. And, you know, the beauty of that simple rules, which we have in, had in house, was that also whatever you learn, you were giving away and you were sharing, because there was no fear that if I know something, I have to keep it for myself. No, the beauty was that we share. And if we are sharing, I'm really, that part of Slovenia is also very flat. So it's really open. And we say that people who live in that, such a regions are also open with mind and open with heart, and we eat a lot. Just to make it short, what I wanted to share is that, yeah, I was always explaining that also at the university, and as I was having my team in big corporate international companies, but we will come to that, that really my biggest advantage was that whatever I learned, I wanted to give to others, because that meant that I was providing the opportunity for them to grow and to develop. And that's the beauty, you know.
You say that understanding, but it's true understanding of receiving and for yourself, but to then share and give. Did that come from your parents, or was that just, like you said, from the country's philosophy? What would you say the foundational motivation, inspiration was for that?
I believe it was my family. You know, my mom is a great cook. And I remember as I was small, we always had those weekends of 20 people being invited. Of course, I had to do dishes afterwards, but anyway, it was great. So it was always like being accompanied by people. And, you know, actually it left me also with that sense that I love that company. And I always say it, company of other people. And I always say that I'm a social beast, loving the company, loving having a joy of having people around me, chit-chatting. It doesn't have to be that we eat, but for my mom was really to cook for a lot of people. More people came, better it was. And she was like preparing for 2 or 3 days. And can you imagine the dead times that we didn't have microwaves and all that washing and really amazing. I believe it comes from her, and she is like that. She always like whatever she bought to me, my sister also got. So it was that equality, you know, which has to do with the respect and like understanding that we all have the same, get the same opportunity. And she was providing that space, because most of the time, the three of us, me, my mom and my sister, were like staying alone, because my dad was, he had a job of a driver and he was constantly around. And he came like home for 1 or 2 days per week. And then we usually went for a Sunday lunch together. And we spent like twice per year 2 weeks of vacations together, but that was such a warm time because we knew that we have that precious time together. Yeah, but usually the mom was the educator, yeah, and she had that sharing and giving skill and personality trait, and she's still like that. Yeah,
I always say to people that I feel very blessed to have been born into and brought up in an Italian home, because it had the same energy that you're speaking when you were explaining that, because it wasn't necessarily that they had a lot of there wasn't an expensive, you know, array of food, but it was that coming together Sunday dinner. My grandparents, my mother and father had some friends that became like family. And so these people were always with us. I was one of four children. So there was a lot of people around all the time. And it was that festive environment, that joyful environment. I feel very blessed to have. And like you said, I do believe that that is why I have a spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving, a spirit of openness, as you do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons we've connected, because it is that, you know, that spirit. But it does from our family, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. You know, the family is that core cell, and then we grow out from it. Of course, we meet other people, and in every single stage of life or period of life, there is somebody who is important and relevant for us. But it starts with the family. And then I believe that our personality, how flexible we are, how we are in the sense of our mindset, it comes from the family and the basic education, how we are brought up.
Yes, very children, much. So then when you moved to the big city from the small town, did you come with your family, or was that you coming to go to university, or what was that transition?
Yeah. I went alone. So I left the city, and I was living in a student home for next 5 years, as long as the studying. And, you know, I wasn't absolutely scared. I was so excited. I remember that time, like, going and making the next step in my life. And it always had to do with that, okay, what's next? And I was so looking forward, because I knew I will still keep that connection to my family. We are still very, very connected. Like, we talk with my mom every single day. Mm-hmm. And I left Ljubljana by myself. I met completely new people, and that's the amazing part of our lives. Wherever we move, or whatever we start to study, or whatever new business segment we tackle, we meet new people. And then you learn from them, and you not only grow as a professional, or you do not only learn like the university, but you also equip yourself with completely new competences with regards the relationship and dealing with people, or reacting to a completely new situations. And for me, so those are such a great questions, really, Megan. I remember back everything what I was going through, and the beauty of it was that really I learned how to not only buy all the stuff by myself, which is going to the grocery, doing all the cleaning, but as well how to earn money, to being able to provide life for studying, going to the university. So I was constantly studying plus doing some student jobs. That was for me completely normal. And I loved it, because I got that feeling of responsibility. It's my life and I have to take care of it. So I'm responsible for what I'm going to make out of it. And my parents gave me the basis. Now it's on me.
On you. Yeah, as I'm listening to you again, I'm reflecting upon how many individuals, men and women, that I have interviewed. And I would say the thread through us all, and I include myself into this piece, is that we truly have a spirit of adventure. A spirit of, like you said, you left a small town and your family, and you went to the big city, which you wanted to go to. You were ready to go to university. But it was that, like you said, just shared, that you were ready to take on any experience that was put in your path, and any experience, but also owned that it was your responsibility to begin to take care of you, to grow your adulthood, to begin that adulthood through university, through that time, but to grow in that. It's so interesting, though.
It's really amazing. It puts you in the situation. I know that I still remember those thoughts which I had, which were like, you know what? Now it's break it or make it. You have to take care of it, really. And I wasn't, I was still partying a lot. So I had that, really the days of the party, which really gave me the energy then to go further. But really I had, now it's on me. I have to learn. I have to study. And then I'll work as well. If I would like to have more money, then I had to work. And yeah. I've done it. So I finished the master's in economy. I was studying psychology in parallel. So yeah, I was quite an eager one to finish the faculty. So, but in between, really, I've been doing two jobs. I've been going out with friends, and that was the beauty of the student's life, really. And if you're really away from your family and you are in that community of students only, then you develop a completely new lifestyle, you adjust yourself, but you really learn a lot as a person, a lot, really. That was the best time, which really equipped me with those competences, not only skills, which I have, really, to be self-confident, to take care of myself, and really to, as well, to really speak what I really mean. So,
well, for sure, but to take that next step after university, start that career job. So economics and psychology. And so fabulous, marriage between the two, though. Very, very, very good marriage between business or the economy as well as psychology. So what was your first job after university? And because, again, you live in Europe versus the United States, Did the university have a job program for the students? Did they assist you? No, not at all.
No, not at that time. We do have them now. That's changed. It evolved, developed at that time. No, so we had to take care of ourselves. So I finished in university, and it was on me. So I started to look for a first job. I was doing the applications. I was preparing myself for the first interviews. Oh, I remember the first interview. One of the first ones was with the regional HR director of Mars. You remember the Mars company, like the chocolates and all the that? Yeah, the candies and the M&M's. Yeah, I remember I was so fresh, completely fresh on the market, like what regards the labor and the job seeking. And he asked me a question, what do you do? And so I was so self-confident. I had that feeling that I know everything, but I just had those 4 years of a student work experience, which I made a story out of it, what I'm capable to do. And the position was key account manager for the retail in Slovenia. And I was like, of course I can do it. And it's unbelievable. What's the beauty of not being real, not having the heaviness yet of being like really that feeling that you don't know something? That's the beauty of our youth. And I was in that interview, and the HR manager asked me, but what? You were like working for cigarettes, and you were doing promotion for cigarettes during your studying. I said, yeah, of course. I've done my living. So it was something I learned a lot about marketing and branding. So it was really a huge knowledge on that. At that time, the industry was still strong. And he said, but yeah, don't you have any problem like with your moral thoughts around it? And I said, you are selling chocolates. Do you have any moral second thoughts? You're making people like fat.
Oh, that's great. I mean, he was questioning about your moral integrity about cigarettes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He was asking that, and I just returned the question. It's the same. Either it is cigarettes. One is harming our health, so is the second one. But at the end of the day, you are young, and of course, you look for the opportunities to make money. But at the end of the day, really.
What a great response! Did you get that job?
No, I didn't get the job because it was really too senior for my experience at that time. But I remember the story, how brave I was and how self-confident I was, which was really great. I carried that for a certain period of time. Then in somewhere after 10 years of my experience, I got that feeling, oh, maybe I'm not capable enough, maybe I'm not skilled enough, maybe I don't have enough experiences. But then I always remembered that story of that one of the first interviews, that how what's the right approach? You know, if you have a desire, if you have a goal, let's go for it. Because even though you'll not get it or you'll not achieve it, you will learn.
Then the fact that you didn't get the job, but you went for the interview is a great point for our guests, our listeners, because, again, the secrets are in the story. She had the confidence to take the interview. Knowing that it might be way too senior, or you probably did know that already, but you learn from everything that you do, every step of the way, but you have to take the first step, and you took that first step, which you took that interview. That is bravo. Bravo.
Yeah. You know, for me, the success already was that they invited me for the interview. So and all then, from my application, and that was like, yeah.
Exactly. It is. It is truly that they even invited you for the interview. So ultimately, what was your first job then?
You know, my first job was I started as a brand manager in the FMCG industry, working for cosmetics. Then I went to the role of marketing manager. So I spent quite a period of years in the selective cosmetics, that premium segment of Shiseido, all those Lancomes and Bulgaris and perfumery and selective cosmetics. Okay. And at that time, because Slovenia is such a small market, all those companies, especially international ones, were considering those markets as joining a few markets in one. So we had those multi-country organizations. So I already had like a regional role, taking care of 6 or 8 countries. And that's quite a normal or quite a usual thing here. And yeah, I started with cosmetics, and then that love was so big that it was really hard to leave it. Really, it was a tough decision. But, you know, at the end of the day, I said to myself, you know what, Simona, you actually don't work for a product. You work for the cause to improve people's life or to provide the opportunity that they can solve some problems, or if they really have a need, so you can fulfill that need with whatever you do. And then somehow that was like a calming down my enthusiasm about the cosmetics, but I still stayed in the FMCGs, working for GSK, for Aquafresh, Corega, Sensodyne, and all those toothpaste, toothbrushes, the oral healthcare, and the OTCs with Colrex, Panadol. They have some different names in the US. Yeah, so I went to the pharmaceuticals and spent quite over 15, 16 years in pharma business, with GlaxoSmithKline and Sanofi, having as well the regional role, because that's the life here in Central and Eastern Europe. But that's the beauty as well, because you really get the opportunity to know a lot of different cultures, a lot of different, learn different languages, meet different people, working habits, and so on. So yeah, I started in marketing. That's my background.
Obviously, when you and I, I'm speaking to our guests, met, you know, in our connection with the beauty industry. And of course, the European structure is very different than the United States. As you shared, many of the things that would be, let's say, in a retail environment could not be sold in Europe. And so the structure is different, but the same difference is there. As you shared earlier, just a minute ago, one of my mentors, Sharon Lecter, she has a philosophy, solve a problem, serve a need. Mm-hmm. And you just said those words. You know,
what
it's all about is solving a problem, whatever that may be, and serving a need. And that is what you've been doing all these years with your career in the structure. You said 30 years. I mean, from the other piece to... No, 16 years.
It's almost, I have like over 20 years of working experience. So,
And so when did you and what made you decide to leave corporate world and start your own marketing business?
You know, I enjoyed it a lot, really. The international and the corporate gave me so much, the structure, a lot of knowledge, because you really get the insight in processes, in different functions. I was really able to travel the world. I was actually constantly traveling. I believe that I spent like 3 or 4 days per month in Slovenia. The rest was traveling, because having the multi-country or regional responsibility, that's the life then. And I enjoyed that a lot. Mm-hmm. And really having that opportunity to be close to the global product development, strategic development, that's a lot. But that at a certain moment, after like almost 16, 17 years, I got that feeling that even though I love what I do, that's not what I really enjoy. And there was something missing. And during, after 1 year or so, considering what shall I do? Shall I go for another pharma position, or shall I go out? Shall I move? I had the feeling that I'm living that goal, like in a golden cage. I believe that a lot of listeners do know that expression, as you have a big salary, you're traveling, you have everything what you need actually, but you don't have that feeling that you really are working or doing something what you really fully enjoy with all of your heart, and that you are really like so excited if somebody asks you, what are you doing? And I was missing that. And then after a certain time of consideration, I decided that I'll go out. I had the opportunity to move to another country, but simply when there was a friend who actually said to me, you know what, Simona, now you have the knowledge already. What would you like to do? And I said, you know what? I have the feeling that I know so much and I have that experience. I'd like to share it. And I was already at that time a lecturer at the Faculty of Economics. And I said, okay, if you would like to share, then there is an opportunity, for example, to build my own consulting company. And that was then the decision to go out. But it wasn't easy, to be honest, really. I had constantly that feeling that I don't have guts to do it, that I'll not be capable. What shall I do? Will I be successful? Fear of failure was huge. Huge, really. But I just took that self-confidence that, you know, if I have that almost 20 years of corporate experience doing the international roles, being a leader of over 20 people, knowing the business, leading the business, having that huge business experience, I can do something with that. And then I transformed it into that consulting agency, starting to do the executive search and working on leadership development, executive coaching, and so on. That was the transition then, yeah. The reason actually was that I wasn't 100% sure that I enjoy every single day doing what I do.
I also think, though, that, again, back to what I said about the thread through us all, is that there comes a time when you know, as you know in your spirit, that it's time to not necessarily do your own thing, as they say, but is to explore, because we're explorers, mm-hmm. and to step out of that golden cage and to see if you can utilize the tools that you have, and also deep in the heart of Slovenia, New York, New Jersey, Texas, that we all, I do believe that a person who has that creative, whatever that manifests in, cannot stay in that one structure. It has to go forward to create on some level. And creating is, it's not just painting a picture. It is designing, you know, programs and workshops, and on. That is creating. So there comes a time when you're in that structure, and you, like you said, you learn so much, and that's such a benefit, but it's time to take it out and share it with others.
I believe it comes from inner. You have that feeling, and then you are just like you know that you have to do something with it. It's not completely clear to none of us, most probably at the beginning, what it will be. But then you start to work on it, and then it starts to get that shape, which then anyway reshapes during the time. But yeah, that's the process how it starts, really, with that inner fire which burns, and you just know you have to do something with
that burning desire, saying it. And everything begins with an idea, but you just said something very key, is that whatever it is, it really doesn't matter, but you have to take that first step, because it will evolve, it will change, but you have to take that first step. So how long ago was that when you did that first step, when you did that?
It will be now almost 5 years. Yeah, 5 years ago, I really decided that I would like to become somebody who really helps people to develop and evolve their leadership competences and to work with their career. So I became a leadership and a career coach later on. Actually, I was done the coaching certification and accreditation later, and that was a huge growth opportunity again. But yeah, it was 5 years ago. So I started with executive search because I knew I had the knowledge about the businesses. And that was also the opportunity for me to gain the international clients because I was speaking the corporate language. So then I also spread it in the local market and gained the clients here in the among the local companies. So yeah, an interesting path, interesting time, and I would never ever like do it different because, as we said at the beginning, I was evolving, I was developing. My services are now completely different than they were 5 years ago. Not only that we are online and face to face because I started with the face to face, but really the tremendous joy which comes out from that you see how you develop as a person, as a professional, and how your company and your services develop and how you're really adjusting it. In the development comes from the market need and from your clients, candidates, patients' needs. It's unbelievable what source of energy that is.
That's a very important point right there. Because if, again, I always look to my guest stories to help our listeners. Because it's also about so that burning desire within us, but also taking the lead from our individuals that are coming to us, because you learn from what they need and what they're sharing with you. So it's truly to be open is also another component that is so key to not only listen to your own heart, but to take that key and that cue, you know. And as I was building my spa, which started out as a luxury day spa, which absolutely is and was, but I always knew I was going to add the medical component. So I had to wait till the market was ready. Mm-hmm. When I first came to this marketplace, it was not strong enough. The population wasn't large enough and it wasn't part of Austin yet. So it was kind of a suburb, so to speak. But also then the economy in the late 2000s became weak. So that wasn't the right time. So I just listened to the market and what the consumer was looking for. And then as things got stronger from an economy position, I then did what needed to be done in Texas to enable us to do a medical spa. And then, you know, looked into equipment, so to speak, that or tools that would not only help the esthetician do the service, but what the consumer was looking for.
Yeah.
So it was always listening to what the market was dictating. And it's a very key thing to listen, because I'm asking you from your experience with your clients, do you see that people make mistakes when they do not listen? They just barrel through and say, I need to do this, and don't really listen to what the market is dictating?
You know what? That's the mistake which I done as well. So really, not with the executive search, because that was really like going with the need. So finding a candidate for an open position, but with the rest of the services like leadership development program, team development or team dynamics programs, I created them all. I've done all the profiling, licensing, and becoming a coach for the personality profiling. And I was offering something. And then in a certain period, I just stopped and I said, look, that's not working. Let's redo that. What's needed? And then what actually learned me, and that's the beauty, and I believe that's the biggest competitive advantage, besides that I have the business experience, not only the HR and human resources background, because I don't have it. So I built all my services on my business knowledge, how to lead business, how to lead people. Mm-hmm. And adding on top of that, what I wanted to say is that not creating something what might somebody needed, because I think so, but really going out from the market and the client, the candidate need. And that's what then really make the competitive advantage of my agency, which is really a boutique one, but very premium, that we create whatever we sell or whatever we offer. It's really not done by a template or by a structure upfront. It's something which is really custom made, tailor made. And if you are small, I position at the agency. So it's small, boutique, and very premium. And whatever we do, it's made upon to the needs of the company, of the client, of the organization or individual. And that's the beauty, because then people and the companies really have a feeling, they are putting energy into creating something which is for us only. Right. You can't afford it if you're big, and you can't scale it hugely. Right. But anyway, Slovenia, it's not such a big market. So it's possible that you really position yourself with a six-figure business in that sphere or that segment of the market.
But even on, with your background, with your corporate background, large corporations get so bogged down that they don't have the, they have the resources for sure, but they are so tight and not fluid to look it out, you know? And I do believe that that's why so many larger corporations are hiring people like us, because we can go, we have the background, but we can go in and very quickly see the missing link to what is not happening in there.
Agree.
You know, like Glenn Lundy, that's one of the things with his 800 Club. He's becoming very successful with that, because he's able to go into these large car dealers that have done it their way for so long. But he's bringing a fresh new eye and approach to be successful. And but he was successful, right? I'm using he as an example. But in a small marketplace, Paris, Kentucky, you know, 9,000 people sold 1,000 cars a month or something like that. So heard of. And so he has the tools, and he can go in and identify the need.
Absolutely. But, you know, you learn that. It doesn't, I don't believe that it's given to anybody.
No.
You learn that you have to do the mistake, or you have to recognize you have to adjust something. Amen. Either it is a process, format of something, or the offer, or the price, whatever. You learn that,
Absolutely. So we, when we chatted recently, we spoke about the pandemic, which we then started this evening speaking about, with you getting out of you know, the curfew and coming down to the office. But so here you were you know, in a you know, just building and building and building, and all of a sudden here we are all told around the world, not just one town or one wherever, that we have to go home and stay home. So other than, like you said, go to the grocery or what, you know, pharmacy. So how did you approach that? How did you deal with that? What did you do when that was in your lap, in your face? What did you do?
You know, the interesting thing a lot of companies face, but most probably mine did, is that we were really face to face. So we were remotely, or our clients, or I was doing all the coachings, one-on-one, live, personal. That was really like the biggest benefit. I never even, I was thinking about, and I was having a few of the meetings online, but really that was like, if necessary, the rest was like face to face. And then the pandemic hit, and you know, I remember the first, as we approach that really increasing season of corona infected patients here, for me, the first thought was, you know, do you remember that sentence that a crisis can also be an opportunity? And I said to myself, you know what, this will be an opportunity for myself. And I really, for me, what I've done, I've used that time of, we had a 3 months of lockdown. So we were not able to work. A lot of companies were closed down, a lot of really shops and stores and shopping malls for 3 months. And I said, you know what? I would on the other, in some other times, I would need 2 years to establish something which is called online business. Now I have to do it and have the opportunity to do it in 3 months. I've really done that. So beginning of the year, I said, look, let's bring our business online and let's do the coaching related to leadership and career and finding a job, career change. Let's do that online. And then I recognized that there is not only a possibility and the business rationale in scaling what we already have or what I already know, but that there is also opportunity really to impact more people. Because if you are working with authentic approach and full of your heart, there you can always develop your business in the sense that you can impact more people and that you have something to give, which will help somebody and a lot of somebody's or a lot of people in the world. And that was then my thinking, okay, shall I do that? And once again, I don't know where I took the courage. I didn't do the financial plan, to be completely honest. I've done the strategic plan, how I would like to structure it. And then I said, you know what? I'll find the finances. I always do like that. Do I want it? And I've done something what I learned with coaching. As I was doing the Ericsson International Certification, I've done that visualization and manifestation of my future long-term aspirational goal, how my business will look like, how I will feel, how will it be. And as soon as I done that, I said, okay, I have the energy, I have the power, and I have the motivation to do it. And then I went back. What's the first thing which I can do? How will I do it? How will I structure it? What's the plan? And so I started. And yeah, and it took me like 2.5 months. I set up the team. I'm really a team person. Yes. I'm somebody who identifies what's needed. I know that I'm not capable to do everything. I'm not a generalist, so I don't know everything. And I always like invite people to my team. And my only sentence is, as I explain the business part of the story and the strategy of the project which I have, my only requirement is that if I always give my team members time to think about if they would like to stay with me for a longer time or for a long-term period. If they think and if they want to live project by project, that's not me. I'd like to invest in our mutual engagement, but as well sharing the knowledge, which then stays. And then you can evolve and develop the business. Mm-hmm. That's what I did, yeah. And it's doing good. I've learned. I've done some mistakes again, of course, but I've learned a lot.
You do not improve or learn without mistakes. Yeah. You know, we all learn from our own mistakes, and hopefully we learn from other people's mistakes that we don't have to make those mistakes. And I think that's another reason why this show is so compelling, because we're sharing and we're being very transparent about mm-hmm. our step-by-step, but also things that we have stumbled upon. And but the courage, and you've used that word several times, to make that step out, like you did after university with the Mars company in that interview. It's very impactful, very important.
You know, did you notice I'm repeating? I have that pattern. I'll do it. I have that idea.
Well, that's because that is your DNA. That's you. And that's why we connect, because we're cut from the same cloth, as they say, you know, and have that same dream, goal, and desire, aspiration over that horizon, you know.
I love it. I love it how you wrap it up, really, and how you just wrap my words in a completely resonating story. Really wonderful. Thank you.
But, you know, you also said a little bit ago that you started this online training in January. We did not know anything was going to happen in January. So you had that inner inspiration to evolve again, to be ahead of the curve, because you saw it coming, because you're an innovator. So you saw that really, you can't wait till the market catches up. You have to be the innovator.
Absolutely agree. There is a little twist in it. I planned in January that I will do it in Slovenian, for Slovenian leaders, for Slovenian community. And then with the pandemic, I just translated, okay, let's do the English speaking market. So that was an idea, but you know what? It's important what you said. You have to be ahead of the time with the innovation, but once again, you have to adjust. If there is an opportunity of the market, you have to have a model how you can quickly adjust to the new situation. And that was the twist. in between, not in between, but in that time of pandemics.
Fantastic. Well, as we wrap up today, I'm so sad, but as we wrap up, you have provided for us some information about a new online course that you've done for teachings of decision making. Mm-hmm. And this is so key. And there's information on the screen for our guests. We'll have it in the text after we finish. But this goes hand in glove with what you're saying, because this course is going to help people all over the world in four steps of getting out of your own way and making decisions. So give us a little background to the course and just a little bit of why people would want to apply for the course.
Okay, so it's my gift to all your listeners and to everybody. Yeah, it's a free gift. So, but it's a great. You've done a great introduction, Megan. Because I wanted to say, you know, really, I've used all of that, my experience, how I transitioned in my career, and I really became that career coach, a transition mentor, a turnaround mentor, helping people to find a job which they really love, but as well to change their career, to accelerate their career. And exactly that gift, which I'm sharing related to the decision-making process, is exactly how to make a change, how to decide for a change. And if you're really in short of time and you're missing information, then this video lesson and a workbook included in a bundle and free of charge, completely downloadable, is absolutely something what will help you to make a right decision the right way. Not only career one, also business one, but because I am having that online coaching group and individual coaching program on career, it helps as well. So yeah, it's everything about how to make a decision the right way.
Well, after we solidified the date and the time, I turn it over to my producer, Elizabeth Hauser, to communicate with our guests. So you ladies chatted about that. And she, Elizabeth shared with me this morning, I need to create something for you. And I'm like, Samina, I said, okay, whatever it needs. So I had no idea that this was even your. So again, that goes back to what you shared earlier about your upbringing and about bringing people in for dinner, meaning to invite you in, to share your heart and your love and your experience, because so many people are going through such difficult, challenging times. And this will be such a great gift. And I use that word gift because it's going to help people get that day. Because so many people have so many tools. They have that's why I go through back to your childhood, everyone, because you just didn't arrive at university. You had some foundation to bring you there, and then the next step and the next step. And we all have those stories. We have those experiences. But people get to a place where they feel stuck and they feel, I have nothing to offer. And a course like your course here as your gift will help people like this show. And you can go back and watch this on your Facebook, my Facebook, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Will be a podcast and give you hope and infinite possibilities.
Yeah. So
before we close, I always ask my guest a question. I referenced Sharon Lecter earlier, and she was the co-author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and she has been on the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and she co-wrote 3 Feet from Gold with Greg Reed, but she also rewrote Napoleon Hill's work, Think and Grow Rich, and did it for women, so to speak, and then annotated Outwitting the Devil. I'm a prolific writer, an amazing thought leader, but also she has her foundation structure is financial literacy. Mm-hmm. But the book 3 Feet from Gold just so resonated with me years back when I read it initially. I've read it many times since, but it's written from a fiction position of the story of this initially, of this man that was from the East Coast during the gold rush time in the States, came west, bought a gold vein, and started to chisel away, and probably using the wrong words, but excavating, whatever the right words are, this mine, this gold mine. And so it was just a bunch of rocks, basically. And he kept working at it and working at it. And he would go into town and get his supplies and go back to his work. And He got very frustrated and gave up.
Okay.
And he went to town and he sold the vein to a local guy who knew the mountain very well and was watching this Yankee do his work, and bought it very happily. And 3 feet away from where he ended, he hit the gold mine.
Yeah.
So, i.e., 3 feet from gold.
So now, the lesson, huh? Mm-hmm.
So Greg and Sharon have what they call the success formula. And then the book goes on to basically Greg's story, who was a young man and was wanting to write a book, and on. It's a very, very, very impactful book. But they have what's called the success formula. And the success formula is your passion plus talent times association times action plus faith equals success. Now, I'm not going to ask you all of that, but every guest is, what is your passion and what is your talent?
I'll say that they're both connecting something which is called grit. So the my formula is grit. And most probably you know the Angela Duckworth's book of grit. It's something which is really inner, which is combination of passion and a talent. And it's something which is a long-term, long-lasting, continuous drive which we have, which drives us that we even don't have to be motivated, but we will do it. And I believe that for me, that's really the combination of seeing the opportunity where those 3 or 5 feet where nobody can see it. I have a sense that I would like to go there. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's my intuition, seventh sense, but I'd like to go there. And similarly, it was, or the same story was also with that, my online business. I just knew I'd like to do it. And then if you have the experience, if you really have something that has a value and can be added value for others, then just do it. And thinking about it, we should never, ever in life limit ourselves, because whatever we have become, we have the experience which nobody else has. We have the feelings and how we felt and why we done it, which nobody else did. And if you have a feeling, that's worth sharing. Write a book, do a podcast, do a one-on-one coaching as I am doing, or group coachings or trainings online. Do it, because there is somebody who will find an inspiration, make a huge change route to that. But that's it. Yeah. I believe in the long-term transformational changes happen. Mm-hmm. If we really listen and find people whom do we listen or read, but we find them really inspiring and they carry something, as you said, before we actually went live, it's that energy. There is energy out which connects us, and then we are capable to do things which otherwise we won't do.
Well, you are truly a hope and possibilities girl.
And you know what? I take action.
and action, like you said. And you are a unique leader. And you are just the epitome of that. And thank you so much for joining us today. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you risking getting in your car and driving to your office. And now you're at home. I'm going to be concerned. You need to let me know. You need to message me when you get home. Well, thank you so much. Really.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. It was really a pleasure. I enjoyed it tremendously, really, to share, and also with other people who I am or what I carry with me. And thanks a lot for all those beautiful questions. Really, you made it so easily. And I felt so good. And that's what we remember. The feelings, the moments where we felt good. So thanks a lot, Megan.
Well, hang on in the green room and I'll be right back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
So folks, I just want to truly, truly suggest that you download Samina's free gift of the 4 teachings of decision-making, because not even or relevant to this time of challenge in the world, but also just in life to make decisions. I can't wait to go in and study what she has for us. But there, we had some guests with us today, and I just wanted to thank you all for joining us, and Wendy Marie and Chidi Nwa and Michael Mills and Nico Valdez, Betty Hernandez, Maria JD, Vasil, I don't know how to say your name, Gaki, Chad Anderson, Marie Beek, Tim Persley, Robert Codosi, and Bronya Dayduck. And I think, Simona, some of these folks are your friends, because if I can't say their name, it might be they're from Slovenia, you know? But regardless, thank you for joining Simona and I. And I hope that today's Unique Leaders Live was a blessing for you, that you gleaned some information from both Simona and I about taking that first step, listening to that inner voice, knowing that you're not alone, and that that second and third step will be revealed to you through all of your, not only your personal steps, but as we said today, listening to others and that input. But another thing that both she and I said, do what is in your heart. Let your heart lead you, because if that passion is there, it will stay there. And through thick or thin, it will be your guiding light. So I truly, truly implore you to go to her gift to you. What a lovely thing. And just really take time to work through those four steps of decision making. And I know it will be a blessing to you. So we will see you Monday for what I'm now calling Teach, Motivate, and Inspire, and the going through my five C's of clarity, courage, confidence, commitment, and compassion. And last Monday, we talked and looked at clarity. So if you did not visit, or excuse me, were not with me, go back and visit that podcast, what it is, but my live on Facebook on our new Teach, Motivate, and Inspire. Go to also our the new Megan DiMartino website and download my book, Hope and Possibilities, Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early, guys. It's never too late to create the life of your dreams. And it is free there. So you have two free gifts today from Simona and I. And so go to the MeganDiMartino.com website. And also, this is coming in on both Facebook pages. Most of you are coming in on the Megan DiMartino, my personal page, but go to the Megan DiMartino official Facebook page, and we're building our business page, and we'll be doing groups and other things there that I know you'll get a lot from and truly, truly enjoy. So we'll see you again Monday. Have a wonderful weekend and be blessed. Thank you for listening to the Unique Leaders Podcast. If we said something today that resonated with you, please connect with me at megandimartino.com. I have a free gift for you, my book, Hope and Possibilities, Just Over the Horizon. It's never too early or too late to create the life of your dreams. And don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I would truly appreciate it. Be blessed.